All right, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of November 17th, 2011. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Here.
Mr. Lassiter.
Here.
And Mr. Fraker is absent. Can you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. There's one addendum to the agenda tonight, number 18, and on number, there is no 5.2 Ohio High Point report tonight. Are there any other modifications, changes to the agenda? Is there a legislative report?
There is a legislative
report. All right.
Brief.
Okay. Well, then, there's no other changes, and I move we accept the agenda with the modifications to the addition of 18 and the canceling of 5.2.
Second.
Move and second. Okay.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is the Employee of the Month.
Beth, I'm going to embarrass you up here.
Okay.
I can embarrass you back there.
I will. All right. I won.
Is that right?
Yeah. Cool.
Black eye there.
So I was just telling Larry that I won. Pulling in surgery, man.
And you ran into a
car
door, right?
Yeah. She was with me though.
Beth is elementary secretary at Edgewood and just has done an amazing job for us there, and just greets folks as they walk in and just has done it for many, many, many years. And we thank you very much. My kids, I think, were there.
Yep,
and
I remember
went through there.
Yes.
And so we appreciate all that you do. Appreciate your garden in the summer, all your peppers, and
yeah,
all the
garlic
that you have at the farmer's market. So thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very
much. Take care of that black eye.
I
come up with a better story.
That's right. Got to work on your bob and weave a little bit. All right, then I move that we accept Beth McCabe as the October 2011 Employee of the Month.
Second.
Move and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I forgot to say, if you want to address the board tonight, if you would pick up a form here so we can log you down in our minutes. Before we get started, I would just want to make a quick note. I want to welcome our new board member-elect, Senna Amy Powers,
thank
is
you.
Here. Congratulations to you. And I know Sue will be along a little later on, so we can all clap for her when she comes in. Okay, next up is the Edgewood.
And Colleen had surgery today, so I'm going to turn it over to Lori.
Well, it's actually a lot of us.
A lot of you?
Okay. You don't get Colleen to get a lot of us.
Yeah, how do you do that? Is that right? It takes that many to
that
replace
a,
her?
Is that a one for many kind of deal?
Well, we are here to talk about the grant that was awarded. So we're going to start with Greg, and he'll tell you a little bit about the nuts and bolts of the grant. And then the rest of us are guidance counselors, and we'll tell you about how we're spending that money and how it's being used to help children.
And I don't want to take up a lot of time because it's really about the programs these guys do that makes a difference. And then hopefully Larry will speak briefly, or maybe not briefly, about kind of the culminations of the grant that we get to participate in this morning. Mid-July, we received notification from the Ohio Department of Education that there was a grant available for Safe and Drug-Free Schools. Safe and Drug-Free Schools was an entitlement grant for years, meaning that really all you had to do was fill out the paperwork, if you had the right population, you got so much money. It went down and down and down every year. And finally, they eliminated it. And it was a federal grant that flowed through the Ohio Department of Education. They eliminated it, and we're kind of assuming what happened is they realized, which having worked at ODE, you sort of know some of these things, that either ODE had some money that they didn't realize they had at the time, or school districts, believe it or not, get these grants and they don't do anything with them and then send the money back. They started to get that money back. They wanted to not give it back to the federal government, so they said, we're going to put a grant program out. They put it out mid-July. It was due the end of July. The notification that you had to apply was the middle of July. You had about 2 weeks to put something together. Colleen Thomas at Edgewood called me, and we got together, and what was best thing about it was the fact that we were able to identify programs that a lot of people here either had already researched or already doing, and we could use that funding to support those. One being Sean Williams at the high school had called me numerous times and said, can we get a grant to work on bullying programs? Donna Ball at Raymond asked me numerous times, can we get a grant to expand the Cubby Leader in Me training? So all that kind of fit within this grant, which was very convenient for us. We sat down, Colleen and I mostly, and sat down and put together this application, obviously in a two-week period, and we received notification a week later, which probably more bigger surprise to me was
they just came up with some more money.
Yeah. Bigger surprise to me was not that ODE put it out and asked it for a 2 week turnaround, was that they turned it around in a week. They notified us that you received $50,000 to do what you submitted as your grant application. We put that together. About a week later, we got an email and said, oh, by the way, we're going to give you another $25,000.
So because of the quality.
Yeah, hopefully it was the challenge becomes we received the grant at the end of July. You have until September 30th to spend it. So I mean, I know for my wife that'd be an exciting moment. You got 2 months to spend $75,000. It's more of a challenge when you have regulations and rules. About a month into it, I kept sending emails because there was something about this that worried me a bit. I kept sending emails saying, I'm assuming we're okay to proceed as we submitted the application. I didn't hear anything back. About 3 weeks before the grant ended, received an email that said, oh, by the way, there's a few things in your grant that are unallowable. And so it was like a mad rush to kind of redo some things. It all had to fit within a prevention intervention mode with safe and drug-free schools. Many of the things we wanted to do were not a problem at all, but there were a few we had to redesign and kind of work around. So what I might be most proud of is within that three-week period, we were able to spend the entire $75,000 legitimately, and that's not always easy to do, quite honestly. And there were numerous programs that we were able to implement. One is the bully-proofing youth program that is K-12. We're doing parent trainings, doing staff trainings, doing student assemblies. The Covey Leader in Me training that I believe the board received a presentation from Raymond on. There's conscious discipline, leadership group at Edgewood. There's just whole bunch of different programs we were able to support through this freshman focus at the high school. But then about a month ago, we received another short notification that said there's a possibility of being nominated for this Asset Builder Award for school districts, for individuals, for programs, for buildings. So we put together what we had designed for the grant as a submission for that. you had 2 weeks to put together a 3 to 5 minute video and submit that as your application. We were pretty lucky in that one of our secretaries here, Christy Rowland, her son had graduated last year from Bowling Green, and I don't know his exact major, but video production. And he's doing an internship at Mills James, so we called him and said, can you help us? So hopefully I'll be able to show you, and again, it's about almost 4 minutes, so it's not too long. The video we were able to put together from the boat. That kind of highlights all the different programs that we were able to implement with this grant. And then I'll let Larry talk about the results of that when we get done with the description of each of the programs. This isn't a video, by the way. It's getting there.
You're not going to make that face like that lady made this morning, are you?
I'm going to start that over because I want you to hear the original part of it.
Hello, my name is Derek Henry, a graduate of Marysville High School. After overcoming my heroin addiction, I spent a lot of time sharing everything that I felt along the way, schools and other professionals. I'm proud to present the Marysville schools and the community arena, not by setting out to improve, but transform the cultural environment for everyone in the Marysville community. Board of Review is a practical and effective board intervention program designed for students grades 1 through 12. It teaches what the students who target look for and those they pick on and how to stop giving them reactions. Through assemblies, workshops, and group trainings, therapist Jim Vicinius instructs students, teachers, and parents in ways to eliminate bullying behavior. Marysville Schools is providing student assemblies for all students, parent trainings for elementary, middle, and high school parents, and will train 100% of the staff. Positive youth activity nights. Marysville Schools have partnered with Union County Drug Free Youth Coalition, the Union County YMCA, the Youth and Youth International, the Community-Based Drug Prevention, and Youth Leadership Program to provide positive youth activity nights. The goal is harnessing the powerful influence of peer pressure, making it a positive force that encourages young people to live free of tobacco, alcohol, and other drugs. Positive youth activity nights go beyond merely presentation information. They also provide activities that encourage personal growth, presents techniques that teens use to change their own environment. Freshman Focus at Marysville High School helps students navigate the many social and academic issues and topics that ninth grade students need to be successful at high school. Students are given the opportunity to learn from and model a behavior of respected teachers and upper-class students. Some of the major topics covered in Freshman Focus are the harmful effects of stereotyping and discrimination, strategies for developing a positive self-esteem, and healthy, effective ways to resolve conflict with others, peer pressure, sexual decision-making, and drug and alcohol and tobacco use. The Leader in Me is a school-wide leadership development process for both students and staff members, of which the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is an important piece. It integrates timeless leadership principles in the school culture, driving transformational results. This process has been implemented at all 5 elementary schools within the Marysville School District. The Leadership Club, an elementary school level program that helps children add developmental assets to their lives. These assets include loving, supportive family, caring neighborhood, self-esteem, helping other people, and telling the truth. The more assets kids have, the less they're likely to get in trouble and lose their way. YAC is a team of young adults and parents who are educating and raising awareness of drug addiction in their own community. And one of the Connect network of individuals provide the necessary resources to live a healthy lifestyle for youth and young adults in their community. The name YAC was chosen by the young adults to describe who they are. I am responsible. I am educated. I am aware. And I am clean. And I am true to myself. They hope to teach others how to read.
Hi, I'm Larry Zimmerman, the superintendent of schools, Marysville, Tennessee Village. I was very honored 2 years ago to be approached by the citizens group that had been a levy committee for the entire district, and they wanted to do more work. And they came to me and they said, what can we do? How can we get involved? So we looked at our data, and we knew that substance abuse and bullying were two key issues for us. And what they've been able to do in a short amount of time has been a significant difference, and will make a significant difference for our students as they transition to adults. And it shows what the school district can do with good citizen backup and good corporate sponsorship. And we've taken this on as an issue, and we're very proud.
Things there. One is, I don't know if you heard it, I apologize for this sound. Derek Hemminger, who was the narrator of that, recovering heroin addict, he lives in Raymond, graduated from Marysville Schools, and has become incredibly active in the Union County Drug Free Youth Coalition, has become very active in, he wanted to do this for us. So that's one thing. Two challenges we faced. When we put, besides the fact that we had about a week to put this video together, was one, it was Halloween time, so when we went into the buildings, most of the teachers were dressed, they were dressed up as Smurfs, and so we had to kind of avoid putting them on film because we didn't want to have to explain that. And secondly, was trying to get Larry in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Not a big...
To be able to say something.
Big ham in front of the camera, so... I want to thank J.B. Rowland because he really stepped up for us. And I mean, my biggest fear when we submitted this was they would say it was too professional and, oh, you just hired somebody to do this thing. But it turned out really well, and as Larry will.
And today we were named the top school district in the state for... the challenges are always there, but I tell you what, we have a lot of things going on behalf of kids, and we have some great community sponsors, and I think we're doing the best possible things for kids, and that's what they'll describe next, because it's all those folks that are doing it. Some old man wrapped up the video, but you guys do the work. I'm very proud of what you're able to do. And also, you know, the fact that folks came to us and wanted to help and do more is critical. Bruce Daniels went down with us today, and he's been key in helping, doing that. And it was nice to have him there as we accepted this award today. And Jennifer Bittinger was also there, and she's been also a key resource for us. So. But as a bunch of other folks have too, including the prosecutor and the court systems and the police and the sheriff's office and so on. So, yeah, it's a community issue. I mean, it's a serious community issue. And we can't do it by ourselves. We just can't. You know, as I see folks saying, you know, they sell drugs at school and all those kinds of things, that's where they come from. They come out of the community. We're doing a lot of things, including drug searches and those kinds of things constantly. So with that, I'll turn it over to you guys.
The only other thing I'll say is, Larry said in the video, again, if you didn't hear it, the two things when the data came out and I looked at it that really surfaced for us were bullying harassment. I mean, I think that's kind of the hot topic everywhere, but when we looked at 5 years of EMIS data and the Youth Risk Behavior Survey that Union County does, which, by the way, we were able to build some money in the grant to help support the health department and make sure we're going to be able to continue doing that Youth Risk Behavior Survey. The two things that surfaced were the bullying, harassment, and substance abuse. So that really, it was kind of neat in the fact that we were already working on a lot of that stuff, so it just allowed us to apply for the funds. And these guys are going to talk about some of, probably more the bullying, no, I'm sorry, yeah, the bullying harassment leadership type stuff that we're doing.
The video obviously did a nice job of giving an overview of everything, so we won't take much more of your time, but we just wanted to give you a sample of the nuts and bolts, the ways that we're applying that in the school district. We are all elementary guidance counselors, but at every level, the guidance counselor sites were able to choose new materials to use in their groups, sessions, and so forth. I'm going to tell you a little bit about conscious discipline and also about girl power groups. The elementaries are using this method, conscious discipline. It's 7 basic skills for brain smart classroom management. Basically, it's emotional intelligence. At the elementary level, we are trying to be proactive and teach kids how to regulate their emotions, how to identify their feelings, how to stand up for themselves, so that we can prevent these bully situations in the future. So if you're interested later, you can look in the materials. But at any rate, it's exciting. Rarely do we get to pick out this many materials. So to have new, fresh materials is awesome. And this is staff-wide training, and then the kids are getting it as well. In addition to that, we have girl power groups. And we're also doing some things for boys, but we know that those mean girl kind of issues tend to arise, so that happens in different ways in different buildings, but in the elementary level, most of us have something going on for fourth grade girls especially. All right, and then the others will introduce themselves and tell you about their area.
I'm Marianne Conley. I'm the guidance counselor at Mill Valley. And I just want to talk just a second more about Jim Bassinius. Jim Bassinius is an expert in the area of bullying. He, as they said on the video, he is coming to all the schools, talking to all the students, all the staff, and we are having 2 parent nights. And the first parent night is December 1st at Bunsold, and that is primarily for parents of middle school and high school students. And then at Creekview on December 6th, he's coming to speak to the elementary and Creekview parents. And the guidance counselors at Creekview and the elementary got together and were planning the evening. Angela Dillahunt got with Office Max, and we got out these little business cards, and I wanted to hand one out to all the board members, and we do have some more. But this is kind of like a save the date. And Jim Bassinius's thing is starved bully behavior, and there's more here if anybody wants one. And this just tells them the date and the time. The elementary happened to be on December 6th at 7 o'clock. The one December 6th for Bunsold is at Bunsold, and high school students, and that's December 1st. And these were donated through Angela's work. Office Max donated and copied these for us. And then a poster they printed out too that we could print here at the school, that they gave that to us. So, on to Michelle then.
I'm Michelle Schindemary, and I work at Navin and Raymond, and I've had the privilege of working in the Cubby Leader Meet School. Both my schools are Cubby Leader Meet Schools. And through the grant, we've been able to extend our Cubby leadership into a lighthouse training. So we've had our level 1 training, which there are 3 levels actually, so we've just started. And I'm happy to report from the grant all the elementary buildings will also be Leader in these schools.
I spoke with the Cubby folks. Were in last week when we did a Veterans Day session at Raymond, and it just happened to be that they were there. And they are looking at Marysville as a national lighthouse school district for the Cubby Leader in Me work that we've done here, and that's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. To have Stephen Covey's work, mm-hmm. you know, here, and if we can be a training center, that would be outstanding.
We have one more elementary guidance counselor. As you say that, Amy Oslinier is at A.B. Combs, which is a leadership school, and that's why she's not here tonight, because she's visiting in North Carolina with Missy Hackett at the A.B. Combs to see the process there. So she's
there.
Our other elementary.
They flew down
program.
There on their own dime.
So that's there's 4 elementary guidance counselors for 5 schools. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you for all the work you put.
that black guy. Like that.
All right, next up is our legislative report.
Okay, there was a bill introduced regarding the property sale, education property sale, that would allow school districts to sell rural property to private, nonprofit institutions of higher education. And it moved kind of fast. It was first introduced on November 9th, referred to committee on the 15th, and had its first hearing in committee yesterday.
What's the bill number, you know?
375, House Bill 375. The two bills that I spoke about last meeting regarding dyslexia, they had the their third hearings also this week on November 15th in the Senate Education Committee. And this. On the. I think there was one other property one.
Did you ever happen to find out what the companion Senate bill was for House Bill 136?
No. Actually, Doug had sent me an email from the superintendent at High Point that had both of them listed, but I don't recall the number. And it's not going anywhere yet. So, I do not. There also was a community school bill that had its third hearing that permits the establishment of hybrid community schools that provide both remote technology-based and classroom-based instruction. So they had heard testimony on that in committee also yesterday. That's it.
All right. Thank you. And now we have a report from our Finance Committee Subcommittee on mandated funding. Mandated, did I say that right? Yes,
whatever.
Mandated cost.
Don't look at spelling, because I understand numbers. I spell, but spell check didn't catch it, so I don't feel that bad. I'm Bruce Valentino. Some of you guys know me, some of you don't, for whatever reason. First of all, thank you guys for letting us be involved. The Finance Committee does like to be active with things, although we do like things that are a little more objective than subjective, a time where you can really nail something down. I have three of our committee members here, Jeff Featheroff, Chris Roccozella, and Kimmy O'Neill. We've been meeting for quite a while now with a lot of help from Cindy and trying to nail some of this stuff down. But by saying the term mandate, it's really, really difficult. We stuck with 2010 because that was the only year that was completed at the time. We had help from Carla, a great influence for what she was telling us, what she does, and how she comes up with your curriculum, and Yvonne. We tried to gather as much information as we can. We did have some testing discussions, and there are some other people on our committee that really contributed. And I thought by the end we kind of nailed something down, but by saying that, by when you say mandate at any given time, you're trying to make something objective out of something that's completely subjective. Because not only as in a corporate environment, you have various different levels, you have the same things. You have local, state, federal, and what's for sure in one is not necessarily for sure in the other. So what we came up with there is a mix of a lot of different things. A lot of it's actual, because we wanted to stay apolitical and stay out of this, to say, I can't tell you how many pieces of paper you need to buy, so I have to assume that the supplies you buy are what you need, right? You know, like, for example, the state says, has limits on what you have to bus, but we do cluster stops because we thought that was a good idea a while ago. So we left that in there. You know, we left a lot of the actual costs. I can't tell you what to heat and cool your buildings at. You know, so that's in there at actual. So what we tried to do is whatever we could pin down, we did. And again, it's their average numbers in some respects. We tried to put everything in there. The only things we could definitely take out, you know, is something that you do extracurriculars are not in there, mm-hmm. because there's no extracurricular that's mandated. You don't have to have that. So we didn't put that in there. We noted that on there. Yeah, do you guys have anything to offer, Krista? You know, it was like trying to nail jello to a tree. And I think the first five weeks, we were so inundated with data and what this meant, and you're getting reports an inch and thick, and then Carla came in and threw us a couple of curves because you had to consider something else. And all the programs that you deal with are just, in a lot of respects, staggering. I mean, I think you can look, you know, public and private, they all have their own idiosyncrasies. And you call something one thing, we'll call it something else, but it's still relatively the same thing. But it was like you're trying to make something and say a definitive something about something you really can't. Because probably right now, what we looked at in 2010, what, half of that stuff doesn't apply to you.
Right.
And it's going to change, you know. So you're living in an ever-changing world. You know, if you have any questions on those numbers, you know, funnel them through Cindy, let us know how we came up with some of that stuff specifically. We tried to, you know, we hit on 25-1 because that's all we could use. That's the only thing that was in there is an average of 25-1. But we used average salaries based upon what Cindy told us. So we tried, so even in that is a subjective number as much as anything else.
Now, that
so
average salary, does that include the benefits? And the,
above there on the top is what the mandated benefits are. What's it?
We used the retirement, Medicare,
yeah,
workers' comp.
So that's
okay.
All included.
Right, but
yes.
Then there's a below-the-line cost there for all the other,
yeah,
benefits.
Right.
So we put those in there because we thought that was appropriate.
Sure.
You know, the state mandates that you only have to have so many hours in a day. Well, we didn't adjust anything for that. We took it over the 9-period day that you have now.
But what was it? I mean, this is kind of one of the things that you were pushing for. So, what was the...
Well, to see. I mean, it's where's your cost center? But by saying that, I can't sit here and tell you shouldn't do this, and this either. I was hoping the numbers would be fairly close in an objective sense, but there's too many things that you can't give a specific idea to. You know, the state doesn't say you're only allowed to use 50 kilowatt hours of electricity every 15 minutes. Well, they don't tell you that. So you have to go with the actual on that. And everything else comes down to being an average. As much as
So what should we walk away from looking at this? Maybe that was Doug's question or not. I'm not sure. But as I look at this, what do you want me to take away from
it? I think when you go, it's that above the line section. It's the only thing that's subjective.
Right.
Okay. What we did is, you know, not to put a cost on anything, but we did to say, okay, the state says you have to have an average of 25-1.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we were able to use that number and say we have this many students. This many students, 25-1 equals this, or 25 equivalents, however you do that. But does that do everything? Because you do have open periods.
Right.
You know, you have to, we left all the office staff, I think we left the aides in there, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we left all that in there. But that's the only thing. And you can look at it to say, okay, what are our numbers and how do these things compare?
Right.
And we didn't do the actual side of it. So
right.
We just did that.
Hmm.
Yeah,
so it's the implication that, you know, assuming that all the stuff that we took actuals for, you know, and assuming that those, you know, that's actually what, you know, the kind of the minimum of where we need to be.
Mm-hmm. At that point in time.
Yeah, at that point in time, that this would be, you know, heck, if you were to squeeze down as much as you could, this is it. Is that the idea?
Probably as much as anything else. But how much of a chunk of that difference is extracurriculars?
I don't remember.
So, I mean, that's half of it? A third of it?
The other part of it is that in this, the mandates, we didn't add any extras like the guidance counselors because we have guidance counselors, they're ESPs, they're considered ESPs by the state, and you have to have one per 1,000. Mm-hmm. Well, we have 5, so we used 5 nurses. So we've got all the guidance counselors that are sitting out there in the buildings, and that's a large number.
And that makes
amount.
That's something that made no sense.
Elementary music and art PE, those are ESP, so that would not be within your 25-1, but that's part of your ESP. So that's another large number that's missing out of this. So really, we're about as tight as we can get.
Well, the other thing you have, and you always fight when you, because this would be a similar document is what you would get if you went through an audit.
Pretty much. That's the way we looked at it.
You have your efficiencies in your big buildings, you know, once you get all those kids collected back together, your efficiencies become truer. Mm-hmm. You run 5 elementaries, well, it doesn't fall out 25-1.
No,
you may have, you know, a larger class over here, and all of a sudden you need X over here. And I mean, if you really, if you combined all your elementaries into one site, you could probably eliminate several staff members if you wanted to do that. And a lot of districts have done that. I mean, they've just...
Maybe like a 3-4 building and
but anytime you run a larger building, that your efficiencies improve. Mm-hmm. Your efficiencies are not as good when you run neighborhood schools.
Yeah, you've got more overhead.
You just do. So that falls out of that, and that also adds to the inefficiency sometimes of your transportation, because you're going to multiple sites instead of one magnet site. All those things, you know, but again, in a pure audit standpoint, none of that is factored in.
No.
That's where you got to throw logic, and this is the way it is here versus true number. But, you know, if you were running, you know, if we went into fiscal emergency, you would run with these numbers. You would meet 25-1. They could care less about your building spread out and all those kinds of things. You're going to hit that number. So, you know, it's a good number to look at from that standpoint. But the other thing is, then you have to decide for yourself and as a community, is that really where you want to be? And that's what you have to look at. Same way at the high school, you know, if you take a look at the high school and the number of periods we run, the number of courses we run, you've got a lot of courses at the high school that are non-mandated courses that are there as electives. And you have to have so many electives in order to graduate, but we offer more electives than what you need to graduate. So, you know, there's some inefficiencies, I guess, of what your course offerings are. But then when you look at your graduates, what are the course offerings that they need? You know, and so you have to measure all that stuff too. So I think it helps to have a report like this, because it gives you kind of a bottom line, but then you have to then see where you are at the top, and then what are the differences, and what are you comfortable with as a community in having. So, I mean, you're spending $46 million. The bottom line here says mandated staff is $40 million. I would dare say that that's probably pretty close to what it would be if you, I mean, we've been through this before with when they come in and actually give you a people audit.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably
accurate. See, you take the other side, you go extracurriculars. Now, and I agree with you. We believe in them. Because what are those kids going to do? They're going to be out in the streets, and you're going to have more problems than you were talking about. You know, so that's money well spent. But that's, the state doesn't require it.
Correct.
And that's not only sports. That's
all
extracurriculars.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. So, but that's always where you are. Here's your bottom line. What do you want? And really, what are you comfortable with offering as a district? It's not a new argument, trust me. We've been arguing about this for a long time, and kind of it is what it is. A lot of school districts have eliminated art, music, phys ed, elementary guidance counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that's where they're going. I think there's a heck of a value in all those things for what we do for kids, but it's in that number. It's in that top
right.
number there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if I read that right, and after that discussion, it looks like we're right. I mean, we're bumping up against that 46.
Yeah. With
what we have
right now.
Right.
We didn't. So we had 2010. We thought that was the best choice to go with those actual.
Right.
I think that was a good choice.
Right. Well, I see a lot of value in that.
Yeah.
Thing.
If you have any questions,
absolutely.
Let us know.
Yeah, really. Thank you for all you and the work that I know you guys all did on that.
A lot. It's worth the exercise.
It's complex.
Yes. Well, Carla will tell you, we've kind of like
you beat her up.
Yvonne, we're talking to us, it's like, You know, when you start throwing, I mean, I deal with a lot of initial words, but I never heard as many as I did that one.
All right, great. Well, thank you. Thank you again for that. And I'm sure that that is going to be a tool that we're going to look at again, and no question. All right, next up, public participation. Is anybody who would like to address the board this time? Now's your time to shine. Anybody? All right. And then I'm going to move along. Next up is the, holy cow. All right, we have the minutes from the October 27th, the November 1st, and the November 2nd special meetings. First and second should be fairly short.
They were.
So there's no changes, deletions. I need a motion to accept those, please.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudberg.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. The treasurer's report.
Can I go back?
You
ask
can.
A question on this real quick. You based all of your insurance on folks being in Plan A. Is that correct?
Yes. That's what we did.
And then the others, the special ed, you based that on a cost.
The special ed we got from the special ed committee.
We based it on the state cost per pupil.
Is that their average?
That they gave us, that we spent per pupil. So that's how we came up with that.
We've been doing it for another year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you'd have to go through every IEP and everything else to figure that out.
That's a totally different subject.
And that's our cost, right?
Yes, that was based off the special ed.
That's not what we get.
That's what we spent.
Yeah, and that's an average of 800 kids.
Yes.
Too.
So
it was assuming you have
96.73 a kid.
Correct.
For special
and that's
ed.
Our average. That is truly our average.
Mm-hmm. Of what we spend per student on the special ed side. And it was that was the only way we could do special ed, to add that into that cost, because it's such a large amount.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Right. Treasurer's report.
Just a couple things. We were looking at the SM2. It looked pretty good. I went back through and double checked our salaries, and we had more sickness in the month of October than I had expected, and so some of that was from there. Also, what I did was, after I figured out what June or July through September were, I just used an average of split it out equally, so that's why that difference. So it's really, it'll step up and come back in once we get going with the rest of the month, so those are good. The other thing is that I talked about in my notes to you were the renewal levies. We have two coming up. I heard this at Capitol Conference this week, June may not happen, so I'm not sure when the other primary is going to be yet. So we're going to have to keep our eyes.
Why might not it happen?
Because we may not have a June primary. I don't know.
They're talking about some pending legislation that they're trying to push fast, and I guess they're running up against a deadline.
So
we should know.
A little different story in the Dispatch this morning.
Was there?
But it's still kind of nebulous out there.
Yeah.
And why we're having two primaries, I mean, what a waste of money as far as I'm concerned.
A lot of money,
20
too.
Or $30 million to run two primaries.
And I didn't have that form. What's the deadline for the March primary?
The March primary would be...
I thought so.
It's December. It's like December the
7th?
7th, yeah, 5th or 7th, whatever that Thursday is. So, yeah, it's already passed, so that's why.
So we may only have one shot for our renewals?
We may only have one shot for our renewals. So I'm not... So stay tuned on that. So.
And that's a 5 and a 4, right? The renewals.
Yes.
5 and a 4.
5 and a 4, yes.
Just so everybody's clear.
Five and 4 mils. 5 mils and a 4 mil levy, so those two. So those are just regular levies.
So why... did you say in your notes that it would need to be before the November election?
I said we should probably try it in June, just in case it would fail. Then we would have another try for November.
Okay.
So, and if we lose in November, if we'd lose it next year, we not only lose our local taxes, we also lose all the tangible property tax replacement we're still getting on those two levies. So we'll lose the state money that's being paid back for the hold harmless payments on the tangible personal property, and then also the amount of the levies.
This community has never really shot down a renewal, have they?
No.
I mean, even the ones that were on the ballot.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, because that's taking money away from the district. That's not.
Right. And even still, you've got to replace that money. It would cost you more because you lose that TPP money.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what I meant.
So we'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully, one time shot.
What's the effect of millage on those two?
About what they are
real close to it. Because
just because the values have
dropped
and those millage rates have stayed pretty much
I think the 4 is right at 4, right? And the 5 is like 3.8 or something?
It's not too, they're not far off at all.
Otherwise, you may want to look at a replacement levy, but I don't know whether that makes sense or not.
What's a mill worth this week?
almost
700,000.
That's it.
That's all you got?
That's all I've got.
All right. So any questions on the items submitted by the treasurer? If not, then I move that we accept all items submitted by the treasurer.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Freudberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is the high school athletic conduct code revision.
Yeah, item 8 is an athletic code revision. We're recommending that we approve the athletic code revision for anyone who self-reports a violation. We've had more kids self-report, and right now, they self-report. Basically, the policy says that the ramifications of that are equal to if you don't self-report. So we'd really like to look at, if you come forward and say, you know, I broke the athletic code, I was drinking last weekend, or those, or something like that, that gives us some leniency to go in there and let the kids come forward. I think it, you know, the kids that we've dealt with this year that have done that, you know, we'd like an opportunity to at least soften that up a little bit. It's a lot different than the kids that don't come forward. You have to investigate. You have to spend a lot of time doing it. And really some of their character flaws at times come out in there, and you really want to make sure that they suffer the consequences. But the other kids, not necessarily so. So that's what this policy change does. It allows us to have some flexibility in a student that self-reports a violation.
And you only get one per, is that enrollment or one per, that's it, right, over your career in school?
Right.
Is that right?
But there's some conditions in there too, like, I could have swore, I'm not saying here.
Like if someone tells on you and then you ask them, that doesn't count, right?
That doesn't count.
Oh yeah, that's right, that was me.
That's not self-reported.
So reading somewhere, maybe I'm confused, but reading somewhere where they had to be, there was some sort of a program they had to be entering into?
Yeah, they would enter into a program of help.
Yeah.
You know, we want to help the kids through that, but it, at the same time, it's something that it's a little more lenient than what we currently do. It gives us some flexibility.
Right, so part of that, part of that lesser punishment is you still have to finish up your drug and alcohol class, I think is
that's
what it is.
Correct.
Yeah.
You still have to do that, but you don't miss an athletic event and those kind of, because there are other penalties that fall out of that athletic code if you don't self-report, that you can miss so many events automatically.
Gotcha. All right, everybody all right? Can I move we accept the changes to the athletic conduct code then?
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Appreciate you doing that, because we've had some self-reporting, and that, you know, I like that in the kids, you know, realize that they've screwed up, but
it's a line forming right now.
There is now. Item 9 are staff resignations. I recommend that you accept those 3 resignations before you.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Roenberg.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 10, employment of district staff. It is recommended that the following individuals be approved for the 11-12 school year. You have their custodian that's a replacement to a resignation, some latchkey folks. You also have 2 technology. One.
Are they the same name?
Dave,
yes.
And David?
They're both Dave Wells?
They're both Dave Wells. No.
Well, that's
once for part-time.
Once for part-time.
Just to get us through
the. Oh, I'm sorry. I see the date. Okay, I got you.
Same person.
It is. It allows us. He's going to start on the 28th, but between now and the 28th, he's working on an hourly basis with us. Kind of. He's working another job, but they wanted him to stay 2 weeks, so in that interim, he's working not in a lot of hours, but some hours, and we wanted to be able to compensate him for that. But Dave Wells...
He worked here before.
He did. He worked here for about 8 years, and we're bringing him back. He left, I don't know, about 8 weeks ago, and we're glad to have him back.
So they wanted 2 weeks notice after only being there for 8 weeks?
They did.
All right.
Yeah, they had some guy out on sick leave that was out on surgery, and they wanted him to come back before they did that.
That's good to me.
Nice,
yeah, glad to have Dave back.
Yeah, actually, because he helped, him and James built a lot of our infrastructure.
He did. And
so
he really understands phone systems, too.
That seems to be a real, it's good to have. So, all right, so moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Roenberg.
Yes.
Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 11, supplemental contracts. Outlined below are specific recommendations related to employment of certificated and non-certificated individuals for supplemental contracts. And you have, I think there's 3 there.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 12, district substitutes and home instructors. Listed below are substitute and home instructors recommended for employment for the 11-12 school year on an as-needed basis.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Roenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes, motion carries.
Item 13 are district volunteers. Is my recommendation that to recognize the following volunteers for the 11-12 school year. And again, we recognize the volunteers so that it can be covered under our liability insurance.
So moved.
Second. Moving second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yep.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 14, fundraisers. You have 2 there that I would recommend that you approve.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 15, donations to the district. I would also recommend that the following donations be accepted.
So I have a question.
Yeah. Wow.
I knew someone was going to do that. Just out of curiosity, the donation from Ohio Pal Prints, how did that come about? Does anybody know?
$25.61?
Yes. I'm just curious.
I have no idea.
No?
I don't.
I don't even know what it is.
It's a company in Ohio Pal, Pennsylvania. I was just curious how it all came about. It's a little tiny company on the Yakadine River.
What's a Moby View? Anybody know? Some kind of projector, I assume.
Yeah.
A Moby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they use it right now.
Yeah.
It's done that they've
whiteboards. They're smaller, they're handheld.
Yeah.
And you can walk around, write on them, and it projects.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Enough of the...
No more questions? Okay.
No, it's okay. I mean, I didn't know you knew that much about Ohio Pile Prints.
I do, because I'm from around there.
Oh, okay.
So
that's still how she says it? Ohio Pile?
Yeah, well, there we say Ohio
Pile. I'll find out. I really don't.
I don't know either.
Sounds a little southern.
All right, so we have John moved. Second that. So roll call, please.
Mr. Kreinberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
I obviously don't know.
Item 16, lease of East Elementary. I recommend that we approve a lease with the Marysville Area Ministerial Association to lease East Elementary after about 2 years of years of negotiations here and discussion, not negotiations, just discussion. I think that the plan's in place. I think it's we're comfortable. Finally, they're comfortable. Finally, I think. So it's my recommendation that you do that. You've seen the lease.
Anybody have any questions? I know everybody's seen the lease.
No questions.
Huh? So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. You are our new tenants.
Thank you. item 17, discussion of goals for the district and superintendent. You have, and I haven't received anything from you, so I'm not sure what the question is.
No, these. You saw these, right? We just needed just a discussion. We don't have to vote on them. It was just merely a discussion. If, you know, moving forward, if these, and I know you've already started to work, obviously you've already started to work on them since we're...
Yeah, they're just follow-up. Basically,
right, and they're
a lot of them are follow-up to last year's.
But we're really going to use these for our next superintendent to kind of come in and say, look, you know, here you go. This is what we're doing.
Well, you're using them for this current superintendent, too.
Well, I know. I understand that. Okay. As a person sitting in that seat, they have to be able to read this document, whether it's you or whoever, and these are what we've laid out for district goals moving forward. So I really just wanted to make sure everybody looked at them and they're all on the same page. Yes, sir.
What about the interim?
What about them?
How do the goals apply to the interim, or is there going to be a separate set?
I think these drive the district.
Yeah, I mean,
basically, these are what they are. I mean, these are an outgrowth of what we accomplished last year. They're a follow-up. The administrators, all of us were in approval of them.
Well, the issue is it that's a specific interim. I mean, that's a person goal, or these are more of a,
right,
you know, district kind of goal. So I think as we put together maybe a transition plan, you know, for the interim himself,
okay,
those will fall out of that, I think, a little differently. But I just want to make sure everybody looked at these. We're all on the same page and everybody understood that this is what we were doing. A nod of the head, whatever. Yes.
You're good.
Read them, saw them. Yep.
I guess the only comment I'd make,
sure,
is there a reason we don't use the forms that they provide for the superintendent? And the only reason I bring that up is we're at High Point.
Right.
I got to go through that orientation again for the superintendent evaluation. And I can't remember the guy's name, but he emphasized the importance of using forms. In fact, he started off talking about the importance of how forms drive the world. And,
sure.
And
again, I'll follow up with that. These are our forms. And this is what we've used for a long time. These drive us currently.
Sure.
I hate to adopt somebody else's form that we're so... I guess our argument always is in this room when we're talking to administrators or whatever, I understand what the State Department wants us to do, and I understand what the High School Association wants us to do. What we have to do is decide what's best for Marysville. And that's these forms, this drives us.
Yeah.
And again, I think the final form they need in some capacity, but what they've told me is that the rest of the forms kind of up to us. You guys, you know, come February, you guys can decide something differently if you want. But, you know, between now and February, I think we're going to use the forms that we're
actually, well,
sure, and I wasn't suggesting that. I guess the thing that I thought was important, I guess it would be nice for us to look at the forms because it seemed like the model, the process a little bit more. So if we were adopting that superintendent evaluation process, that the forms seem to...
What I would like to see is what we had last year with, you know, your matrix. that we actually did that on. So do you have that in this? Because this is a high-level goal, and this is that first form that you have, but then they break it down into your work steps for that.
Correct. And those are most of that's in place, not all of it's in place, depending on where, how far along we are on all those goals.
Right, but because I remember, you know, from last year's, it's got, you know, what your goal is, what your evidence is, who's doing it, and when to do it. And those.
Yeah, it's all being processed now as
right.
we go along.
So if we could get those on top, I'm just on top of that, that would be.
Yeah, that's what you got last year in February.
Right. Right, because we asked you for when those plans were going to be available, and February was when. So, given that we'd started in, if we'd started in August, we probably would have had them in October.
Yeah,
maybe. I'm hoping so. So, but that's because I think this is that first form on there, isn't it? Basically?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah, I honestly don't have. I looked at it during the presentation. So
it's a modification of your form.
Really, I only went through that training once, but I thought they emphasized, yes, you use a form, but just agree on a form
right.
and just consistently use that form.
Well, that's what they told
over,
us.
Over and over and over.
I mean, when we bring the new board members on, we probably should go through a version of that training
yes.
anyway, so maybe that'd
yes.
be a good time to discuss
okay.
it.
And yep, I agree. Okay, so we'll get that from you. This is okay from everybody else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
All right. Okay, then the last thing on the list is the addendum for the resolution in opposition to House Bill 136.
Okay, wait. All right, I'm going to mention it.
All right.
So we're saying those are our goals. And
yes.
one of the goals on here is the adopting a cash balance sustainability that will maintain consistency with 5-year forecast.
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, to do that, it has implications in terms of levies and other negotiating types of things, right? And we all know where we'd like to be with cash balance.
Yeah, we'd like to have lots of it.
Right. you know, to say that one of our goals is to adopt that policy, because we've been talking about that policy for a while, and I think we all agree that's something we need to do is move towards that. But I'd hate to have the board just say, hey, that's our goal, we're going to do that, and we're committing to that today. And then the real, you know, how realistic that might be given our situation.
These are goals. Whether you meet that or not, and then what you have to do is show evidence and prove that if you didn't hit that goal, what were the reasons why you did not?
Okay, and that's
and
all
that
I want to clarify.
And that could be very well what you just discussed. It's not logical.
We're committing to that at some point, but maybe not this
right. year. And the great thing about that evaluation is it's really not a pass fail. You know, it's more of an evidence of the work that you've done throughout the year. So you say, okay, look, we want to do that policy.
Right.
I mean,
I think
the recommendation that we've always heard from Moody's and Standard & Poor's is that you should have at least 60 to 90 days of true
yeah.
cash.
And I think we should. I really do. And I just
well,
no, I think that's a
you know, again, in my 15 years, the most we've maybe reached 30 days of true cash maybe once or twice. Generally speaking, we have about 14 or 15 days of true cash. Right now, I think we expect maybe 2 days of true cash when we end next
that's
fiscal
13,
year.
Yeah.
It's not even probably 2 days. You know, when you talk about that, you know, folks get real nervous, and they should get nervous because, again, that's not the way we should operate. And even in the best of times, we probably needed more. I mean, we got chastised, basically, from Moody's and Standard & Poor's for not having more true cash than what we were having at a time when we were growing as fast as we were growing and building as many buildings as we were building. You really need a lot more than that. When I talk to other districts that have 180 days or whatever, you think, wow, that would be a nice luxury to have. But we've never had that luxury, ever.
But it's
I
good.
Mean, it gets it in the discussion.
I think you can develop a policy or develop a recommendation to move towards that policy.
Right.
And not ever meet it. you know, really. I mean, that's your goal.
Right.
Now you got to figure out how to get there.
I agree with you. Thanks.
Okay. We're done with goals, right? All right, next up is our House Bill 136 resolution.
This was sent out by all the management organizations as far as bringing it forth to the boards to look at this resolution. It's it's increasing the number of vouchers for students of families that have income less than $95,000 to go to private schools. And so I just sent out that, the whole thing that was in that from OASBO, OSBA, and BASA that put this resolution together. And so I sent that out to you. I also gave a reason, gave some information on how this is done by the state for the vouchers, the way it is now for vouchers or community schools, which are the actual vouchers that they have out. What happens is they take the money, the actual money that comes out of our foundation is calculated on our ADM. They add the students that are in the community schools back into our ADM, and then they take out the full amount. Not only the amount of the state that we get per student, they also take out our portion of our tax dollars for that student. So when you look at what it is right now for community schools going out of this district is $592,000. We receive per student on our November payment of $2,723.41 per student for regular education just flat across the state. We have 88.9 students going to community schools, and they take out $592,985, which is $6,731. So this bill would do the same thing. They would take that money and use it the same way and give those students that money, and they can keep that money as long as they go to a private school, or after they're through high school, they will put it in a savings account for them. They will also get the interest on that if they don't use everything that they're given every year. So say, for instance, somebody goes to a Catholic school that lives here, doesn't make $95,000 in their family that year. It only costs maybe $4,000 to go to that school. They may get up to $7,500. So the difference between that $4,000 and that $7,500 is $3,500. That's being put into a savings account that student will get when they graduate from high school, and they will apply that to their tuition to go to college. And they will also earn the interest from the state on that. So anything that money receives as interest in the state's coffers, instead of going to the state for interest, that would now go to that student.
And then part of the issue with that is not all those dollars are, since the state's not giving us all those dollars, they're coming from our levies here locally.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're actually.
You're getting around, let's in just round numbers, you're getting about $2,500 a kid.
Yeah,
is what the state is sending us.
Yeah.
You're shipping out
$5,700.
Yeah.
I mean, the state gives us $2,700 to educate a kid,
right.
But if that kid goes someplace else, $5,700 goes with that kid.
And it applies to people that are already doing that anyway.
That's
exactly.
I've met with Dave Burke. Matter of fact, all the superintendents in Union County met with Dave and also with Dorothy Palamba. My issue is one of fairness. I mean, the fiscal part of this is pretty straightforward, but the fairness issue is one that I think just screams the loudest, because you're sending the full amount of money that will follow that student, but that school does not have to take everybody. Public school has to take everybody. If you want to be admitted, you have to be admitted. A private school doesn't. They have choice. They can deny admission.
they can admit and then kick you out for whatever purpose.
But they keep the money they get.
They keep the money.
It's the bigger issue there.
They keep the money. So they don't have to offer special education. They don't have to offer busing. They don't have to offer, they don't have to have qualified teachers. They don't have to do the testing. The mandates are a heck of a lot fewer than what we have. My issue is that if you're going to offer that money and let it flow, and again, I like choice. I think choice for parents is good, but then it needs to be fair. It has, if you're going to offer it, then that school that's receiving the money has to offer a full program. They have to offer everything that the public school offers. Otherwise, the playing field's not the same. It just isn't.
That's kind of the issue I have with the second to last clause, because it says any legislation that would take public dollars. And I think that's the OSBA trying to take an issue that I think most everybody agrees with, which is House Bill 136 is not good.
Well, take the word any.
Well, I'm just saying, I think this is part of their platform, you know, OSBA's platform, and I think this is their way of trying to get us to pass a resolution to support it. And I believe in vouchers. I just don't believe in this legislation. I just think this is them sneaking one in. And I'd rather,
say take the one word out, say any, to legislation, which is that way if you take that word any out and leave the rest of it, that says we don't want to transfer the public dollars for this bill, that you wouldn't.
Well, I think it already says that in the statement above, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, opposition is.
It just says opposition. It doesn't say why the opposition, basically. This goes even further, saying the opposition is because the legislation is taking transfer the public dollars to the private.
I think it's too big of a blanket statement, too. I am opposed to House Bill 136, but I don't like that particular paragraph in this resolution.
I think it's more of a political move, not by us here. I'm just saying I think that's why that's there, because it is a blanket statement.
Like I said, then we need to say that so that they understand that we don't want them taking that money from in this bill.
For this purpose.
Because really, this says, it says opposition to the legislation, and then this next line says, you know, I understand the any, but if we say opposition within Senate or House Bill 136 legislation that seeks to transfer.
Or to unfairly transfer?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how you want to put that. I mean,
whatever. The issue is,
it's transferring of the funds.
Yeah.
I think the issue is 136. Because, like, for instance, let's say this was written up and said the state is going to pay these funds for these people going to private school.
Oh, you're saying the whole thought of 136 of state.
What if it was state dollars and not our dollars? And, you know, I mean, then it becomes a completely different, you know, I don't know if I'd agree with it, but it certainly makes it a lot different than taking our dollars. And that's still public dollars. It's blanket, so it could be, you know, it's saying no to something without knowing the details.
Honestly, I think the point of this resolution is talks about specifically about House Bill 136, and I would agree that, you know, we don't like zero tolerances in our policies, and to be honest with you, I don't like it in our if you say any, that puts us in a kind of a corner, and that's why I don't particularly care for that. I think if there's other, you know, other legislation that comes up, we'll have the opportunity to do the same exact thing that we're doing now. And I think if you take that out, it doesn't change the message whatsoever when you send it to our legislator. Look, it's impacted us. We don't like it. You know, and here's our opposition to it. So if you want to amend it, just to strike that paragraph. John, do you have any feedback on that?
No, not really. I'm good with it in or out. I think it's a bit redundant. But don't like the HB 136. The next statement's a bit redundant, but again, you know, if something else comes up and it's different, I'm not sure that you wouldn't just pass another resolution.
Right.
That is tailored to that, as opposed to this one. And I know these things get written to try to head a lot of different things off at the pass from that end of it. But if you're talking
right, I mean,
136, then I'd say...
I mean, I don't know how many districts... How many districts actually passed this so far, or something?
There's quite a few that have. Yeah.
Right.
I bet after the capital conference would be a lot more.
Yeah, and so I think when we see a stack like that of resolutions, I think that sends more than that specific message about that. I mean, you have to recognize that if you're going to come up with that argument or that legislation, it's going to meet, you know, it's got to meet a lot of different people's needs. So, so if we could strike that, then
I mean, okay, that's fine.
Is that okay?
Yeah, I personally don't think it's problematic being in there either. It's just kind of like, here's cake, here's the icing, you know, don't do 136, you know, quit taking public funds for private things and go from there.
But I think you'd start to divide that group, you know, like if that was really anyways, I'd rather take it out.
People at the conference, we were talking about it, and they had boards that said they wanted even stronger language in it than this. So.
And that's the point. I think you can get boards on either end of the spectrum, but taking it out, I think you get a lot of consensus among these boards as to let's get rid of 136.
All right, can we agree to take that paragraph out then?
Yeah.
All right. Is everybody okay with the rest of the resolution?
Yes.
Then if so, then I move that we accept the resolution to, hold on, because I don't have my... Thank you. The resolution in opposition to House Bill 136 with the amended change to it.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Beatty.
Yes.
Ms. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Anybody else like to address the board at this time before I shut it down for the night?
I just remind everyone that Marysville is hosting 700 teachers and administrators. There'll be four districts here on November 28th. We'll hear Dr. Daggett, Jim Mahoney, and
Larry Zimmerman to
Larry Zimmerman. Well, yes. That will be scripted for.
I'm hosting the 11th and 12th grade English teachers.
He is facilitating the 11th 12th grade English teachers breakout.
I figured they put a lot of red stuff on my papers when I turned them in. I figured I can get them back.
I was looking through. That looks like an interesting day.
It does.
It really does.
We're just in knots about moving 700 people through the high school.
700 adults. We're pretty good at it with kids.
We're hoping.
The kids know where they're supposed to go.
What is one down, three to go? Does that mean like 1 year down?
It's race to the
top.
Race to the top is 4 years. Okay. We've completed one. We're in the second. So one down, three to go.
And this is a good use. This is a collaborative use of all of our dollars. It allows us to really maximize the dollars that all of us got by meeting in one spot with all these districts. And
that's four of them, right? Buckeye Valley, North Union,
yes,
Austin.
Buckeye Valley is sending a smaller contingent.
Big Walnut.
No, Buckeye Valley.
And Big Walnut. And North
but
Union.
But Big Walnut's bringing everyone. North Union,
right.
Everyone. Cost everyone,
right.
Buckeye Valley smaller because they weren't able to work that Labor Day into their schedule, so they won't send their whole staff. But
yeah, but it's kind of nice doing for multi districts because it is a savings for all of us, mm-hmm. And plus you can get Bill Daggett in here too.
He's
outstanding.
All right, if there's nothing else, then I move we adjourn.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Beatty.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs. Freudenberg.
Yes.
All right, we are adjourned.